Chris Zierke. How are you?
Great, Alex. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this. Chris, you are the newest addition to the Gertzberg Law Firm family, correct?
That is correct.
You've been with us now for what?
Like 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Four glorious weeks. Four good weeks for you, Chris, so far?
Fantastic weeks.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you like working here?
It is a great place to work. And the staff is fantastic. The lawyers are great. But even better, listen, we give great service, right? And that's important at the end of the day.
Agreed. Good. Chris, tell the kids listening at home what it is you do.
So I am a franchise attorney, and that can have lots of different meanings. But what I really focus on, at least currently, is franchisee transactions. I happen to be a franchisee myself for a period of 10 years. So I have been through those battles. I have been through those issues and transactions, and I really have a passion for the franchisee.
You had a couple of Jimmy John's franchises, yes?
I did. At one point, I had five Jimmy John's franchises. I had a couple of Moe's franchises, and I also was a Soccer Shots franchisee.
Yeah. Wow. What do you think is the unique perspective that you have on counseling businesses relative to lawyers who have only ever worn the one hat as outside counsel?
So I think when I counsel franchisees, more than anything else, I can see the entire picture, right? Start to finish. When you start a franchise or when you become a franchisee, your sole focus is getting open, right? Whatever that is, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a service operation, right? But there's so much that goes into it beyond just that initial phase. And it is so important to really understand how you're going to operate your franchise and really what also is your exit strategy. That cannot be put off. In addition, and for myself, right, I had I had another owner. And that just adds another level of complexity because at the end of the day, your family is also owning this along with you. We don't operate businesses in a vacuum, right? And I know, at least at Gertzberg, right, we pride ourselves in knowing our client's business. And especially in the franchise world, I really do understand the business risk and the business, you know, the pressures that we face as franchisees, right? Because there's that unique relationship with a franchisor. And a lot of franchisors are really, really great. Sometimes they're not. And how do you handle all that stuff?
I haven't. So let's talk about franchises. At a really elementary level, at a high level, Chris, who should buy one? Who should think about buying one?
Right. So the obvious answer is, well, do you really want to own your own business? Or, as some of my friends have done in the past, do they just want to be an investor in a business? And when you're considering the franchise model, it's really important to make sure you understand what you want to do. Because there's even an item 15 in the franchise disclosure document that states whether you actually have to be the main operator of the business or not. But in addition, you know, it's do you want to operate under structure? So if you want to be a franchisee, do you want to be operate under structure where you, by the way, where you have some marketing support, you have operational support, you have some brand power, right? You have all of these great things in place. But are you willing to take direction from the franchisor? And that's a really important trade-off, right? Franchises in general have a higher success rate than non-franchise businesses.
Right.
But the trade-off is at the end, you probably will not reap the return that you would if you're taking the risk of starting your own non-franchise business.
Right, right. So I think of it, I really like the way you described it. It's a question of whether you want to hitch your horse to something that is pretty tried and true, right? Usually the franchisor has been in business for a while. They've got a system set up. You're buying into that. You're paying for that, but you're reducing your risk.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so for Jimmy John's, right, I love food. I had worked in restaurants in high school, and I kind of always wanted to do that. But at the end of the day, I am not a chef. I have no creative abilities to do that. And so for me, it was a relatively easy decision. I need some concept out there that is tried and true. And so for me, it was then picking the right one.
Right.
But the franchise decision for me was relatively easy.
Yeah. And then once you've made the decision to buy a franchise, am I saying that right? Is it buy into a franchise or is it buy a franchise?
Oh, I think buying a franchise is fine.
Buying a franchise, right. What's an important diligence task or some important diligence tasks that a potential franchisee should be looking at when deciding which one to go with or whether to go with one at all.
Right. So the first thing I would say, and it's really obvious, right? So it's kind of funny that I'm even mentioning it, but let's make sure you find a franchise that fits your passion. Mm. And maybe that sounds easier said than done. There are a lot of great tools out there to help you with that. There are a lot of great franchise consultants that help you with that, and they put you through a series of tests, and a lot of them are free, by the way. And so can really check that out. You know, I think Jeff Bezos said it best. He says, one huge mistake, people try to fit passions into things, but at the end of the day, your passions really find you. And so really spend some time with that, because if you buy into a franchise system and then realize, oh, I don't really like this,
yeah,
well, you're committed, right? It's a bit of a marriage. And so really spend some time doing that, especially in the beginning part.
So that was one diligence right. item. What's another one?
To me, this is one of the most important. And listen, there's a lot of things that a franchisee needs to do in terms of their due diligence, but it's talking to other franchise owners in the system. And it's always a little challenging, right? Because you don't want to come in and the thing you really want to know is what are your sales, right? Because at the end of the day, that's where everything starts and ends, right? If their revenue is not great, I'm not sure anything else really matters. But that's really the one question that franchise owners don't want to disclose, especially right away. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to start getting into questions about, hey, what's your experience like with a franchisor? And that, by the way, is so important, right? Because at the end of the day, the first couple of years when you're in a franchise system, it's kind of a little bit like a honeymoon, right? Everything's kind of hunky-dory with the franchisors. It's how are things in years 4, 5, and 6 when you've really kind of understand the franchise system and have a little bit more of a mastery to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that relationship, obviously you don't know that in the beginning, but right. other franchise systems or other franchise owners do know that. And so really start talking about that. A lot of franchise owners, especially if you're opening a restaurant or something with some type of lease premises, really get into the build-out cost. Is it really kind of what you had budgeted or what you anticipated? Right. Talk about employment issues. At the end of the day, once you're open, right, your employment practices and your HR issues can consume you. And that, by the way, does you no good. When you get into that, talk about time and energy and effort away from your business. That's right. a big drainer. So really delve into those issues as well. And then maybe at the end, you can start talking a little bit more numbers in terms of sales. But again, you have to play that by ear.
How important is it to learn from the franchisee what their relationship with the franchisor has been?
Well, I think that's extremely important. All franchisors are not the same in terms of how much control they ultimately wield. Some are a little more hands-off, right? So they all have operations, they all have operational support, but how do they really interact with you as the franchisee?
Right.
And that is so important to understand, because if you don't understand that, especially for a franchisor that might be more hands-on, I don't want to say you'll be miserable, but life can be a little frustrating, especially as you head into the back end of that franchise agreement.
I'm a huge checklist guy. I think you are too.
I am.
Right? And I always counsel people to go into any meeting where they're trying to get some benefit, some value from the conversation with the other person, go in there with two things. One, what are the top three things that you want to glean from that meeting, or top three results you want to get out of it? And then second, a full checklist of questions, right? And that checklist, when you go into that franchisee, that meeting with other franchisees, is something that you want to put a lot of thought into. And I'm guessing, Chris, if anybody wanted to help build a checklist like that, they can contact you.
Absolutely. And obviously the checklist is going to be different depending on the franchise system.
Right.
But absolutely, that is so important to have checklists to make sure you don't miss anything.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want to do really, right, is a day later call back again.
Right.
I forgot topics A and B.
Right.
Right.
And sequentially, that meeting with the with your potentially new fellow franchisee, where is that in the process?
First, you decide you want to delve into the franchise world, right? And then you start working generally with a consultant, or you do it on your own, and you pick kind of what concepts you might be interested in. And then you narrow it down to really what you like best, right? So for me, it was Jimmy John's. So you kind of pick that out. You reach out to the franchisor. You have those conversations. At some point, there's pre-screening done. Obviously, the franchisor also does not want to waste time on a franchisee that just doesn't meet their system. But once you get the franchise disclosure document, then you have, that's to me when you really do your due diligence. There's a 14-day period where you can't even sign the franchise agreement anyway, right? And that's where you really spend some time talking to other franchisees. They, most franchisors will normally give help or help you talk to other franchisees. It's good to use that list. If you can, on your own, reach out to other ones as well, that would, right. I strongly recommend that as well. And again, really focus on your, if you can, really focus on the franchisees in your market. Other states have different markets, and some concepts are better in certain markets than others as well. So, but after, once you get the franchise disclosure document, to me, at that point is really when you should at least reach out to your franchise attorney and say, hey, this is where I'm at.
So step one, you're thinking about doing it. Step two is you reach out to some potential franchisors or intermediaries. Step three, you talk to the franchisor, you make sure it's a good fit. They send you a franchise agreement, a franchise disclosure document.
Which has the franchise agreement as an exhibit to that, right? But yes.
And then there is a minimum of 14 days of diligence that you would perform. Right. It's at that point that, among other things, you're talking to other franchisees. And that's at the very latest when you would want to be talking to a franchise lawyer like yourself. So the closing with the franchisor is the signing of the franchise agreement. After that, either before or I guess presumably after that, that's when you're a business owner. Now you're doing all the things that a business owner would do.
Correct. Including potential training that the franchisor requires and all of that stuff. Right. Correct.
And we're going to get into some of the legal issues surrounding
some of the common transactions that all franchisees go through
in our next talk.
Correct.
Chris, this has been good. I appreciate it. Thanks for the help. Folks, if you want to learn more about Chris, about his franchise practice, and about the Gertzberg Law Firm, you want to go to GertzbergLaw.com. You'll find Chris there under the professionals section, and there should be a link at the top to Chris's website for franchise law, and that'll be in the ribbon at the top of the GertzbergLaw.com website. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Alex, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye.